This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. You're listening to episode 293 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight. David Vanderhoof is off this week. This episode, we speak with Stephen Hummel, a senior research analyst at the Consumer Technology Association, about studies CTA conducted of U.S. consumers concerning drones. The results are quite interesting. Here's my conversation with Stephen. Stephen Hummel is a senior research analyst at the Consumer Technology Association, the CTA. And Stephen manages the execution of consumer and B2B market research projects, both domestic and international. And he does that across a variety of CTA's technology categories. Stephen communicates his insights through in-depth reports and blog posts published on CTA's website, which is cta.tech. He's also an active speaker at industry events, including at this year's FAA UAS Symposium. Stephen, welcome to the UAV Digest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And now I get to add podcasts to my repertoire. This is my first one.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, listen, I'm sorry I missed you missed your session at the FAA UAS Symposium. So many great sessions. So little time.
It was a great session. I would say great attendance. And I was only there for one day, but I imagine you were there for all days.
Yes, I was. A great event. Really highly recommend it to anybody interested in this industry, almost irrespective of what angle or what interest in unmanned aviation you happen to have. Well, I see that CTA recently conducted a consumer research study titled Drones, Public Perceptions, and Consumer Attitudes. And it looked at a lot of interesting things, including general awareness, number of owners, likelihood of purchase, current applications and uses, awareness levels of safety messaging. I think that's very important and interesting, and also awareness of use cases. And we're going to explore some of the results of the research study with Stephen. But first, Stephen, I see that you have a master's degree in survey methodology.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me because I actually have some training in that area, but not as much as you. And I think most people are unaware of just how difficult it is to conduct a survey that produces meaningful results.
Right. Right. No, I love research, and I've been doing research pretty much my entire career, but survey methodology really gets you all of those skills and training in order to conduct proper human subject testing, such as consumer surveys, and not only just how to ask questions, but how to manage a sample, how to generalize your results to the intended audience. It's fascinating work, and I could certainly talk to research methods at length, but tell me, but what's your background in research methods? Tell me a little bit more about that, actually.
Well, actually, for a period of time, I was doing continuous improvement at the corporate level and working with different groups to improve processes. And part of that is customer surveys. In my case, internal customers. And so I had to learn a little bit about how do you properly construct the survey? How do you ensure that the results are neutral in that, you know, you can sometimes inadvertently, sometimes on purpose, guide the respondent to the kinds of scores or the results that you you would like to see. So
yeah, we're talking a little bit about bias there.
Exactly, bias. So before we get to the results of this survey, tell us a little bit about the survey scope and methodology, maybe the assumptions, the considerations, the constraints associated with this survey on drones.
Sure. So in fact, this was only one of a number of research projects that we worked on that kind of overlap with the topic of drones. And this study that we did, that we released in February, the Public Perceptions and Consumer Attitudes Study, we actually fielded that last November. And it was an interesting time because it's right before the holiday season. So we expected the numbers for ownership to increase, which is why we released another study in May this year with data collected over April. And it's our annual Consumer Technology Ownership and Market Potential Study. And while the drone study, which we fielded in November, that was a study looking at individual adults. And I want to be clear that when we do these surveys and we generalize our research, we're only looking at U.S. populations and just the U.S. because most of our or all of our members that CTA represents are U.S. based. And that's the way we kind of like to keep our research and angle it. But for the 21st and for the Consumer Technology Ownership and Market Potential Study, this was our 21st study looking at 59 different product categories. So everything from TVs, computers, cell phones, and emerging tech categories like drones. This was our 21st one, and it was fascinating to see the growth and trends in drone ownership. The difference here for this study was that it was a household study, and we get a different sense of what we're generalizing to. So we're asking about all the products within a household rather than all of the products that one individual may own. And in the case of the drones, Public Perceptions and Consumer Attitudes study, it was just asking about individuals, which we were trying to generalize to a larger population. So in terms of U.S. adults in the U.S. population, there's approximately 249 million. And when we look at U.S. occupied households, there's 120 million U.S. occupied households, or housing units for that matter. And we get our data and background from that from census. So we like to make sure that we're generalizing to the most accurate and recent types of methodologies and reports.
Okay, so you're trying to get a good representative sample for the survey.
Yes, of course. And also, because we just focused on consumer populations for these surveys, we kind of get a little bit of a gap there in terms of all of the data that we're collecting. So we do a consumer technology sales and forecast report, and this is done twice a year, both in January and in July. And so we actually have another report coming out next month, which is only a few days away. And for this report that we put out, it forecasts and makes projections on unit sales to dealers and shipment revenues coming with data directly provided by the manufacturers themselves, which really helped to get a holistic and well-rounded approach towards the entire technology industry. And so with that, when we take the consumer research and we take the forecast research and we put it all together, we definitely get this well-rounded approach for data. So for the research that I'm going to share today, a lot of it will be coming from the consumer side. And I would say all of it will be coming from the consumer side, except for when we talk about the numbers of owners or shipments. And with that regard, I'll focus on the research that we put out back in January so that all the listeners have something to look forward to when we release our sales and forecast report in next month. And for what it's worth, all the listeners out there, you can certainly go online to our website, cta.tech, /research and see all of our reports, which are available for purchase and download. So don't feel like you're missing out on anything, because there's a lot to cover here, but we're not going to get into everything.
Right, right. But it does sound like it's a very comprehensive view of what's going on.
These consumer studies were the first ones, at least this year, was the first one where we asked about drone size and used images to get at that. And I talked a little bit in the beginning about consumers were a little bit unaware of how RC aircrafts and maybe the little helicopters and what would be classified as a drone exclusively. So the images, and we used a working definition that was provided by the FAA to help ground, you know, those who were taking the survey and the knowledge of what we were actually asking about. And in the past, I feel like we had a little bit of an inflated value there. And now we're much more on the point and on the money in terms of what we're asking about. And we broke drones out by size this time using the pictures. So we had three different type of drone classifications. A small drone, something that you would see maybe at a toy store, certainly weighing under the threshold requirement for needing to be registered. But these are the ones that you would maybe see as the gateway into the drone market. These toys that maybe would cost, I don't know, anywhere between $20 and $100. And then we had our advanced mid-weight intermediate-sized drones, where think more about those that had the have a camera or an integrated imaging system in there, or a camera with a gimbal, or advanced flight capabilities such as what you would see with, I don't know, the DJI Mavic Pro, or even the DJI Spark for that matter, because these are the borderline cameras on the weight threshold for being needing to be registered, but there's certainly more to be said than in terms of capabilities than those toy drones. These are meant for specifically outdoor flight and have some great capabilities. And then the third category I would say would be the commercial sized, industrial sized drones, which certainly, you know, these could be used for package deliveries, or these could be used for certainly professional camera and videography and aerial photography with the giant gimbals on them for camera rigs. And so with those pictures that we provided to the respondents in these surveys, they were able to easily identify which ones they owned or were familiar with, or were likely to even purchase in the future. And so we broke out the results by that. And I think there's more meaning in the results that we got this year because, and what we're able to generalize to, because we had provided those working definitions and graphics in our surveys, when in fact we didn't do that before.
Yes, and I think that's a good example of talking earlier about the skills in asking the right kinds of questions and, right. and getting useful information. I mean, you know, as an extreme, you can ask someone, do you know what a drone is? Mm-hmm. They can say yes, but that doesn't tell you what they have in their head when they answer that question.
Exactly.
So yeah, using images to help classify and understand the responses is that's the way to do it, I think. So mm-hmm. very good. What are some of the overall results that you could share with us?
Sure. So when we tracked drone ownership, and let's say starting back in 2016, because it was such an early year for drones, and especially in consumer understanding, consumers didn't really know what we meant by drones, whether this was RC aircrafts or RC helicopters. But let's say around 1% of U.S. households back in 2016 owned a drone. And then moving ahead through the years, we went up to 3% of U.S. households in 2017, up to 10% of U.S. households owning a drone in 2018. And now we're sitting a nice comfortable 13% in 2019. And that's our projection for the year as well. So if we look at 13% of U.S. households of that 120 million, That's 15.6 million U.S. households owning a drone. But we're missing a little piece there, which was, you know, everybody wants to know how many drones are out there on the market. And so, of course, households may own multiple drones. And so we get a multiplier of 1.4. That's 1.4 average drones owned per U.S. household. And so if we scale that up, we have an installed unit base of about 21.9 million drones. There's a lot of drones out there.
Yes, there
certainly
are.
Certainly a lot of drones out there.
I wonder how many are actively being used or flown. Probably you weren't able to determine that.
No, it's difficult to measure that because, like I said, when we had our survey that came out in November and then our survey that came out in April, a lot of drones were being maybe purchased for the holidays. And so we can look at drones that were purchased but maybe not used. But overall awareness, I think that's something to look at. That was an interesting fact because we've done this type of research year over year. And awareness of drones now sits at 98%. So 98% of adults are aware of drones now. And only 2% have never heard of a drone before.
Yeah, they must be living in caves or something.
Yeah, and year over year, that's been getting smaller and smaller. But we did measure it out by, well, familiarity. So let's say, like, let's try to measure what familiarity with a drone means. And so nearly all of 98% of U.S. adults know what a drone is. What we end up seeing is that 13% of households own a drone. So in the remainder, we've got those who have seen drones but not or heard of drones but not seen one in person. And that's 23% of U.S. adults. And then if we look even further, so I've seen a drone in person but have not personally flown one, that's 50% right there. 50% of everybody has seen a drone in person but not flown one. And then going a little bit further down that hole is I've personally flown a drone before but have not owned or do not currently own one, and that's 11%. So then we're left with those who currently own drones and those who previously owned drones but not currently anymore, which make up a bulk of that 13%. So it's fascinating because there's this shift in those who have seen drones now or those who have flown drones now, and now that dynamic is getting smaller and smaller for those who've heard of drones but not seen them, and more towards maybe those consumers have even flown drones themselves. So it's a really fascinating shift because more and more are we seeing drones just in everyday life.
Yes.
We see it in the media when there's a search and rescue operation. The first one on the scene might be a drone because it's the safest to get out there. And it has, you know, the capabilities that we as regular people just can't do. And it keeps everybody safe in that regard because, drones keep people off the ground.
Are we nearing or anywhere close to nearing saturation on a household level, I guess, in terms of those who are planning to purchase a drone who don't have one now?
Yeah, so I'd say we're getting closer, but we're not quite there yet. So we asked about purchase intent as one of the goals of the research. And in 2019, 12% of U.S. households said that they were likely to purchase a drone in the next 12 months. So let's say this year. And, you know, that would equate to around 14.4 million U.S. households, judging from that 120 million population of U.S. households. And so the saturation aspect of it would say, well, 12% of households are planning to purchase a drone. Well, what percent are repeat purchasers and what percent are first-time purchasers? And in 2018, we asked the same research, or we asked the same question, and now it's up 14 points from 2018, the percent of repeat purchasers. So currently, looking at that 12% of households planning to purchase, 43% are repeat purchasers. And that's up 14 points from 2018. So what we're seeing now is those who currently own drones are getting deeper and deeper into drone enthusiasm. They might even see themselves in the upgrade cycle of getting a drone. And upgrade cycles typically lend themselves to maturation, but still 57% of that remainder of households planning to purchase would be first-time purchasers. And so that's roughly 8 million new households to own a drone.
Well, that's pretty impressive, the fact that it's not just one and done for many households, that they are looking to upgrade. I mean, I'm sure there's maybe there's some of that as replacing a lost drone, but probably it's just a smaller percentage of that. But if people are upgrading to greater capabilities or taking advantage or wanting to take advantage of the newer technologies and capabilities that we see all the time, that's pretty impressive. What are they using the drones for?
Sure. So the research broke it out by two different classifications and maybe a blend of both. One would be recreational use. The other would be a combination of recreational use and the alternative of business, commercial, or government use. So we broke it out three different ways. And the majority of those who own a drone use it specifically for recreational use. And when I say majority, I'm looking at 99% of current drone owners are using it for recreational use of some sorts. And breaking it out more granularly, we have general purpose flying as the top reason for operating a drone. And that sits at 72% of all current drone owners saying what they're using and operating their drones for. Hmm. The second would be aerial photography and videography. And that's sitting around 55% of the use case for what consumers are using their drones for. It's kind of important to look at this because this is one where it could blend between recreational use and, let's say, professional use, because aerial photography could just be, you know, the general enthusiast flying their drone around, taking snapshots of, you know, their house or aerial footage or nice sunsets. But then you've got professional photographers who are maybe using drones for weddings or using drones for content to upload to YouTube or social media. And in that regard, you don't think is maybe making any kind of money off of that, but those who are uploading their content would be getting some sort of money back or dividends from the content that they're uploading. And we would want to categorize that as professional use because obviously there's some sort of profit there.
Yes.
But then the third most popular reason for operating a drone would be commercial use. And that ranked at 41% of drone owners. And the last but not least would be drone racing. And this is a really up and coming emerging use case for drones, mainly because the technology is getting more and more advanced, but also that it's less of a barrier and an entrance into the racing market because costs are just going down. And so that's about 20% of those who are flying their drone for drone racing.
Hmm. Wow, that's a lot higher than I would have guessed. That's pretty impressive.
And it's interesting because drones that are used for racing, and this is a deeper conversation that we could get into, are exempt from being registered with the FAA's drone registration site. Because A, they're under the weight requirement. So that's the 0.55 pounds and below, or 250 grams. Or drones for indoor use also are exempt from being registered on FAA's drone registration.
Right.
So sometimes this was something that came up during the UAS symposium because one of the other presenters was showcasing the drone registration numbers, and there's an obvious disparity between our numbers and their numbers. And a lot of it has to do with they're just showcasing, or the FAA is able to showcase their drone registration numbers for all of the drones that meet the requirements for needing registration, but that's not necessarily representative of the entire drone marketplace and all of the drones that are being operated currently. And so indoor drones, drones being flown for racing purposes, or drones in general that are under the weight classification of 0.55 pounds are exempt.
One of the things that we talk about frequently is the safety awareness efforts that are underway from the FAA, from other regulatory agencies mm-hmm. in other countries, from other sources as well. And we wonder if the message is getting out or not. What did you find in that regard?
Yeah, and so the Know Before You Fly campaign was something that we measured in our study, and it's an educational campaign that was founded by AUVSI and AMA and a number of other coalitions on small UAV aircrafts and the FAA, mainly to educate prospective buyers and users about safe and responsible flight of UAS and drones. And we asked about this both to the general public and current drone owners and users. And 65% of just the general population has never heard of the campaign. But it's kind of fascinating that 35%, regardless of those even prospective buyers, have heard of the campaign before. And when we look at drone owners specifically, or those familiar, it just completely inverts. Now it's 37% had never heard of the campaign, and 63% of current drone owners are familiar with the Know Before You Fly campaign. And so messaging is a really, really important piece here, because we did this study back in 2016, and it was about 20 points lower in terms of ever hearing of the campaign. So messaging is really important here, and safe flying, both for the user and the general population and anybody around, is critical to drone operation, and that's the message that we want to get across. And so, and same with the FAA.
Yeah, of course. And I think there is still room for improvement in this area, but still the growth rate, you said, what, 20 points increase over the prior year. That's a lot of progress that's been made. So that's good news.
And there's a lot of work that's been done with CTA and our advocacy efforts. You know, we use this market research to help influence policy and rulemaking processes and advocacy efforts and standard settings and just general messaging with both in collaboration with the FAA and all of the other stakeholders. And and we put a meeting together just a few months ago in order to enhance the messaging and safety around drones. And it turns out that the FAA is moving towards some new regulations and policies, and one is specifically around an aeronautical knowledge test. And we polled consumers around the aeronautical knowledge test and whether it would have an impact or be a barrier towards entry into the drone market, or among those who currently own drones into the drone market. And completing a pilot's license, this is just an online exam that drone owners or prospective drone owners would have to complete in order to get their license. And those who don't own a drone said about half that they would not, or they would be less likely to purchase a drone because of that exclusively. But it's certainly less of a barrier for those who are current drone owners. At 41% said that they would not, or they would be less likely to purchase a drone. So there's a lot of sensitivity around testing and requirements for licenses, but we see that among drone owners, rather than the general public, the sentiment is a lot higher in terms of, it's not going to make as much of a difference in terms of me purchasing a drone. But there was a number of other criteria that we looked at. And one of the fascinating ones was geofencing software preventing drone flight into no-fly zones. And that was the lowest barrier out of all the ones that we asked about, with only 39% of the general population saying that they would not like geofencing into their drones, and it would impact their decision to purchase one. Whereas for those who currently own a drone, it was 25% who said they would not, or they would be less likely to purchase a drone because it had geofencing software, which really means if you look at the opposite of that, it wouldn't impact their decision, or they would be more likely to purchase a drone, or they just weren't sure in general. The vast majority said that it wouldn't have any negative impact on purchasing a drone in the future, which really means that the insight here to take away is that drone owners and the general public like these new technologies. It also it would enable safe flight for them. And because if you're spending let's say a couple hundred dollars on a drone and you're just a general consumer, the risk of you flying it into a wall or crashing it into a tree could be pretty high. But geofencing software is being used with other safe forms of technologies, with sensors and let's just say that the safe technology in general, this sensor-assisted flight envelope technology. And so that's what helps drones battle windy conditions and puts sensors out there for obstacle avoidance. And anything like that is something that a consumer would rather have in their drone, because safety is really critical and important for this piece. But then again, so is enjoying the operation of your drone.
Sure.
And I know I actually live in the DC area. So when geofencing software was implemented in a number of the drones, well, basically, you know, all of the DC area is a no-fly zone, and you've got to drive pretty far out to be able to fly it. But it's kind of nice, because once you get out that far, you take the drone out and the landscapes that you can get of trees and mountains and everything else, it's pretty unbelievable.
You mentioned working with industry and the FAA, and of course that was a big takeaway from the FAA UAS symposium, the degree to which all of the stakeholders, private or civil and the government, are working together to address and solve some of the issues that are facing us. So to what degree is CTA involved in some of the collaborative groups?
Sure. And I can't speak to too much of this because we have a division specifically set up for advocacy efforts with the FAA and other stakeholders. But the Aeronautical Knowledge Test, for one, is one that we were a big part of, making sure that all the stakeholders got together and were able to collaborate on policy regulations. But, you know, CTA works with local, state, federal, international governments to help advance the drone industry and address safety and privacy issues. And ultimately, it's responsible use of drones.
All right. Very interesting. CTA is also the organization that produces CES. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah,
this is our flagship
our flagship brand. And I don't know, have you ever had the opportunity to go?
No, I have not, but it's definitely on my bucket list.
Oh, definitely go. Yeah, last year was my first CES, and it was quite a sight. It's pretty amazing to be there with so many different companies and startups, and it's just fascinating to see what the technology industry is able to come up with next.
Yes.
And there's actually a nicely dedicated drone section, and they even put up safety nets throughout the convention center so that people can just fly drones within the confines of a safe environment. Because I don't think it was always hands-on with the drones in the convention center, but there's so many new things out there to play with and explore.
Yes, yes. And just the experience with CES and also what you've outlined here in terms of this and other surveys, other studies, I think speaks to the fact that CTA is not just some theoretical service that happened to think that, gee, drones sound interesting, and so we'll do a survey on drones. In other words, you know, the organization has a lot of background, history, experience with consumers, with technology, with electronics, and so forth. So if there's going to be someone who takes a look at the drone market in the way that you have, I think you guys are eminently qualified for that. So,
well, appreciate that. Thank you.
So tell our, you mentioned it before, but tell our listeners once again where they can go to, well, learn more about CTA or about the surveys that, the studies, I should say, that you've been conducting.
Of course. And our home website is cta.tech. But for more on our research publications or blog posts or press releases and tech and standards and all of the other exciting activities that we put out, you can go to cta.tech/research.
Very good. Stephen Hummel, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And hope to see you at CES next year.
Me too. Yes.